Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John McClain in the building. Texans coming off the win against the Patriots. Looking ahead to the Denver Broncos. Before we get into the win against the Patriots, first time that Bill O'Brien got that done. John McClain, I got to get you to double down once again for people just tuning in. There was a report last week, courtesy of Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, saying the Texans are not going to change their current structure, basically hinted that they weren't
going to... Well, he's right, they're not going to change their current structure.
Well, he basically that they weren't going to hire...
He said they're not going to hire a general manager.
A general manager, but you still think that the Texans are going to hire Nick Caserio?
I do. I think his contract's up in May. I think he wants to be reunited with Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien, their director of college scouting, James Lepford. They might have a couple other former Patriot people in there. I don't know. And as I said, I think that after the season, they're going to run some people and that Easterby will be bringing in some more people from the Patriots, including Caserio in May.
They're not going to run my man Bazargan, are they? That's a friend of the show. They're not going to run.
I have no idea who they're going to run.
Well, I just don't want Baz getting ran, man. He's our guy. He is our guy. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us. You almost jinxed him the other day. You tweeted during the game when the Texans were up 19 points.
Oh, yeah.
Should I start riding my lead like I did when the Oilers were beating the Bills? And I'll be damned if it didn't almost come down to a collapse for the Texans.
They'd have gotten that last onside kick the way Brady had taken them to two touchdowns. Did anybody think that they wouldn't have pulled that off?
No, nobody thought that.
And it's amazing to me your defense can play so well for so long and all of a sudden, boom, boom, and they score two quick touchdowns. But I've read everything I can find on the internet, just people I respect writing about the game, and everybody was very praiseworthy of Texans and negative about Brady and his receivers and lack of big plays on offense. But he had his full complement of receivers for that game, which he has not had. They had a regular offensive line that's been starting. They don't have a tight end, but they had their tight ends, and James White had all three running backs. So they had the same players, and a lot of them were missing when they won those first 10 games. So everybody was blaming it on his receivers, but they had looked pretty good a couple of, and even against the Cowboys.
You know, it's funny you say that. I mentioned to Landry yesterday, it kind of, I don't know if bothers me is the right phrase. It just, it's interesting and intriguing how everybody's making excuses for Tom Brady by saying these are new receivers. It takes him time to get used to them. They're all new faces. He's done that his entire career. It's Brady as much as anything, isn't it?
Oh, well, let's see. He had a lot of bad passes, and he got the biggest surprise in that game to me was the pressure they got on him. They knocked him down 12 times.
Yeah.
DJ Reader knocked him down 4. Jacob Martin knocked him down 3 times. He didn't get knocked down 4 times in games. Mm-hmm. And he could see he was thinking about the pressure because he threw some passes that were way off target, into the dirt, way over people's heads. And he acted like he was blaming the receivers for running a route, bad route. But the fact is they got all over him. I don't know how they did it, but they did.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us here on In the Loop. What does that win against the Patriots, what does that change for you as far as the way you look at this Texans team? Because we were obviously pretty down on them after the Ravens win.
And everybody should have been.
What do you think about this team right now, like as far as their place among the contenders?
They're capable. I've said this all along. As long as Watson is healthy, they're capable of beating anybody, anytime, anywhere. It doesn't mean they will. There's a good chance. I told the people in Baltimore when I was leaving the press box, there's a chance I'm going to be back up here and see you guys in the second round. I told the people in New England, there's a good chance I'm going to be seeing you in Gillette Stadium in the playoffs. And because if the Texans win the division and don't blow a first-round game here to like Pittsburgh or Tennessee, I don't think Oakland's going to do it the way they've been hammered the last two games. But then they'd go on the road, and the road game would be, barring upset, would be against Baltimore or New England. I'd like to see him get another chance at the Ravens after the way they were humiliated in the first one. But beating the Colts and the especially the Patriots back-to-back has made them relevant. Mm-hmm. I like to look at rankings. I had them 8 this week. Pro Football Talk had them 6. And they've regained a lot of the respect. And the next thing they have to do, well, they already did it. You know, they beat Kansas City on the road and at Arrowhead Stadium, where it's not easy. So and I go back to all the games they played this year. I go back to that 58-yard field goal with no time left in the first game. And that's the one that was the toughest for them to stomach. And because the one guy wasn't doing what he's supposed to in coverage, Aaron Colvin, allowed a completion that set up that field goal before he got cut. But by beating New England, it just shows they're capable.
Right.
And I thought they'd lose. I picked the Patriots. I think it was 24-17. And I know this, how much it meant to them, especially Bill O'Brien. I wrote today about Big Bad Bill wouldn't admit yesterday getting teary-eyed. O'Brien said Watson said when he gave him the ball, he probably went in the back and cried, because watching that video, after he shocked him with the ball, O'Brien was stunned. And Watson said, "Coach's not going to like this," and he handed him the ball, and they started chanting and pounding O'Brien on the back and trying to knock his hat off, and he held the ball in the air. Then he put it under his arm and all that.
I mean, he took off quick. I saw the video.
I'll guarantee you, because he had tears in his eyes.
Maybe.
He doesn't want to show the weakness.
He doesn't want to show it. That's
not
right.
Not everyone has
big voices. I was actually proud of you guys following up on the questions, because the first one, he was like, it's about the players.
Yeah, don't y'all have any more questions besides that.
I was glad you guys followed up, because he finally did open up a little bit. You can also tell when Bill O'Brien's in a good mood or happy, because his press conferences last a little longer, and he'll have some sort of kind of, not joke, but some sort of funny comment or whatever. So you could tell it meant a lot to him, didn't it?
Of course it did. You think you grew up in Boston area, you go to Brown, which is in Providence, your family's from there. It's like he said, his dad called him, and I'll guarantee you, he won't tell us what his dad said, but I'll guarantee you his dad is more excited than Bill was to beat the Patriots, especially when you'd lost 5 in a row by an average of 30-15. Franchise had beaten them one time. Greg Rogin, the Chronicle assistant sports editor, Texas Sports Nation, figured up how many days it'd been.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted it.
1,800 or 1,300?
It was over 3,000.
Is that what it was?
And it was just amazing. So it wasn't just a, you know, get the monkey. It was an 800-pound gorilla they got off their back.
How good are the Patriots? I guess that would be my question. This version of the Patriots, how good do you think they are?
Going into the game, their defense, as I wrote last week, it was historical, giving up fewer points per game than the three greatest defenses I've ever seen, the 75 Steelers, 85 Bears, and the 2000 Ravens. And they'd only given up 9 touchdowns in 11 games, only 4 touchdown passes. Texans had 4 touchdown passes.
Right.
So that defense had played great. It was 4th in the league in sacks. They got to Watson 3 times, but they only knocked him down 4 times. And Brady was knocked down 12 times without Watt, without Clowney, without Scarlett, without Blackson, without Watkins. So I thought, despite the late touchdowns, it was the best game the defense has played.
Secondary, this was interesting. I meant to bring it up yesterday. Maybe when Romeo talks, we can follow up a little bit, or someone will. Jaleel Adai only had 3 snaps.
We asked O'Brien about that yesterday.
He said more cornerbacks in.
He said it was because they had so many corners available for the first time.
Yeah.
All were healthy but Gary and Conley. And, in fact, I'm writing for tomorrow about the significance of having all the corners healthy and how many games they've missed. And a couple of games there, I mean, they were desperate. They're playing Crossan and Armstrong.
Is that going to be the new normal? Because it worked. They had more speed. They had more cover guys.
Well, I think the way they were doubling Edelman, it depends on their strategy. I don't think they're going to have to do that against Denver. Adai's really good against the run. The Broncos all about Philip Lindsay running. They're going to try to protect the rookie quarterback. But then Ryan Tannehill is throwing the ball, but you got to stop Derrick Henry. I'll guarantee you Jaleel Adai will be there to try to stop Derrick Henry. And then the Buccaneers are all about throwing it, so maybe they'll go back. I think a lot of it depends on just who's available.
Mm-hmm. Could Bill O'Brien get executive of the year? Is that possible?
It's funny because we just voted the Houston Sports Awards, and I sent in my thing, and I'm thinking, okay, executive of the year. Luno, they went to the World Series. No, not this year. Plus, he's already won it. So, Brian is, you know, you could put Daryl Morey in there any year. He gets Russell Westbrook. But O'Brien's made all those changes as in charge. So, I put him down as executive of the year. And I put Hinch, since he went to the World Series, as coach of the year.
Okay. I mean, I'm just thinking about it because as far as the in-season moves, I mean, especially when you go all in, because a lot of teams aren't just going all in like the Texans, just being as aggressive trading draft picks and stuff. I mean,
right.
It's, maybe you could say Baltimore has made some moves, some significant
Nobody's
moves.
Made as many moves as the Texans going back to the roster cut down day when they start making all those trades. They're going to have 9 draft choices. They're going to have a 2. They're going to have their 3. They might have a 3 for Kareem Jackson. They're going to lose their 3 for Tyrann Mathieu to Cleveland. They're going to get low pick 7s for Christian Covington and Kendall Lamb, guys like that. And so they're still going to have 9 picks. And the next year is when they miss their 1 and their 2, and that's when they need to find another Justin Reed and Jordan mm-hmm. Akins like they did, was it last year when they didn't
2 years
have,
ago.
2 years ago when they didn't have their 1 and their 2.
They had the 3-3s or whatever it was, and Rankin and Reed, and
right.
You just mentioned it.
And Rankin helped them get Carlos Hyde.
He did.
You know, they were mm-hmm. going to cut him. Like, now one of the biggest stories to me is Jacob Martin. He's had 2.5 sacks the last 2 games. He'd been getting close. I went back and watched the game twice to hear what they were talking about, his speed off the edge, because that kid has got – he is quick off the ball. And he's got a motor. I saw one play where he came around the corner. He beat Marcus Cannon around the corner. Brady stepped up. He got a hand on him. And then he went down, and Brady went to his right. And that was a play, I think, where he threw a pass, and Martin got up and went all the way down the field. He didn't make the tackle on the receiver down the field, mm-hmm. but he was right there when he was brought down. I know coaches love that kind of work ethic on and off the field. But watching him, so ultimately they got Jacob Martin and Gary and Conley and Barkevious Mingo, but I don't count him, yeah. even though he started in this game. Mm. He's a special teams player for Clowney.
So you speaking of those guys, they wore the costume, the SWAT team costumes.
I see all these idiots acting like they did it for the – for the Patriots, and it's first time, and how clownish it is. And I'm thinking, and
I've been doing it all year.
For all you clueless people, they've been doing it since after the first preseason game. And if you want to know their costume ideas each week, it's on their website.
Okay. When's the last time you wore a costume, John?
Let's see. I dressed up like the devil when I was in junior high.
Really?
That's it? That's the
last time?
Carol hasn't dragged you to a costume party or something?
I haven't been to any costume parties since junior high.
When's the last time you wore a costume, John?
I used to wear them every year when the kids were growing up. And then I did, a couple of years ago, I did here, our Halloween.
What'd you wear?
I forget. But I dressed up a couple times here.
When the Texans were 2-14, they had a party, and they invited me, and I dressed up like a victory, but nobody recognized me.
Dress up like Wilfred Brimley.
Isn't that terrible?
That's pretty good. I actually
like that. I thought. What does a victory look like?
History's going to be very, very kind to that joke, John McClain. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us. It's time.
It's time.
It's time. It's time to go world famous.
Yep.
Universal.
They love us in England.
Universal. John McClain leg hiking. Could Rick Smith be the GM for the Jacksonville Jaguars? And could Andrew Luck be back in the NFL next year? McClain leg hiking next. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us. World famous McClain leg hiking. Let's start it off right off the top. Rick Smith, GM of the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2020.
I don't think he'll be the GM of the Jaguars. He could be a GM, but I wouldn't think that would be his first choice if he had options.
What are the options? I mean, the coaches, the teams don't change general managers very often. What do you think are going to be out there that are possibilities?
I think Carolina is going to clean house. I think Jacksonville could clean house. Although Coughlin could be back, Dave Caldwell is the general manager. He's been in there a few years, but Coughlin oversees everything. But I believe Tom's 74, and they seem to think that Shad Khan may just clean house and start over with a new GM. Same thing in Carolina. And
so Carolina and Jacksonville.
You know, if they fired Bruce Allen in Washington, there's a story in the Washington Post last week that they're for the first time thinking about it, because they claim if they fired Bruce Allen as president, people would buy season tickets. They'd be so excited. Who are some other bad teams that are going to change coaches?
I mean,
Cowboys,
Cincinnati?
Of course, no, Cincinnati wouldn't. Arizona? No, not after 1 year of Cliff Kingsbury. The Giants? Boy, Pat Shurmur bombed out at Cleveland. Now he has shown no progress in 2 years with the Giants. I couldn't understand
that would
why
be
they,
the job. See, I was wondering which one would be which one would be the most attractive. Jacksonville's up there, but I guess the Giants would be if that happened. All right,
if you could deal with all the pressure that comes with a job like that in that media market.
The Baylor Bears will exact revenge against the Oklahoma Sooners in the Big 12 championship.
Oh, I hate to do this, but hike it.
Oh, he's hiking on the Baylor Bears.
Sorry. If Baylor wins, you can hike it on me next week. All right, I'll bring my raincoat.
All right.
Right now, Baylor is a 8-point underdog.
Well, that's less than the last time. Last time, I think it was 10.
It was 10 last time, and the over-under 62. I'm kind of looking at you, over-under. I'm looking at you. I'm going to start my Saturday morning off with an over bet. It's always the best way to start things. Andrew Luck will return to the Indianapolis Colts.
I'm going to say no, hike it. As much as they would love for him to take a year off and come back, he was in such pain physically. It was affecting him mentally. Andrew's taking such a low-key approach to whatever he's doing right now. He's still in touch with Jacoby Brissett regularly, Brissett says, because he uses him as a confidant.
Yeah.
And you know they'd love to get him back, but I hope he comes back. I think that'd be great for the league, but I just don't see Andrew doing it.
All right. Jacob Martin will finish with more sacks than Jadeveon Clowney.
Hi, kid. Clowney's only got 3. Martin's got 2.5, but Clowney's playing for a new contract. I thought he'd have a big game last night. I think he was probably hurt when he played. But it's amazing. He has only 1-6 games, 3-11. He didn't play another one, and Martin's closing fast.
Texans should sign Bradley Roby to an extension, not after the season, but in season, to make sure that they keep him and get in the price. Keep it as low as possible.
I don't think there's any way his agent would do that. You know, they want him to keep playing like he's playing now, where the price of business goes up, just like DJ Reader, who's playing great. If he doesn't get to go to the Pro Bowl after that big game, and 7 tackles and 4 hits on Brady all up the middle, he was getting double teamed, and they were praising the heck out of him, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. I hope that got him in the Pro Bowl. And I asked Bill O'Brien about it yesterday. He said, you know how I feel about the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, he got snippy.
But the players care about it. That's all important to them. And coaches and players and fans vote on it. But so I'll say no, they're not.
The Irishman movie is going to bomb because it's 3.5 hours long.
I think it's going to bomb because it's on Netflix and people like me still don't have Netflix. It's not going to bomb. It's
what
already
is that?
Been praised.
It's one of the most revered, or at
it's
least.
It's being praised like crazy. Yeah. It's about the death of Jimmy Hoffa. Pacino plays Hoffa and Joe Pesci. And
that's a big
Robert
Netflix.
De Niro with the gangsters, and it's a Martin
Scorsese. 3.5 hours.
I just wish it was in the theaters.
Yeah. I do, too.
Can I, as not having Netflix, you have Netflix?
Yes.
So could I get your password and everything, and you give
well,
it to me, and I'll
air.
Watch it
yeah,
one
but yeah, I'll give it to you. One. I'll give it to you.
I can give you one. I don't have my own. I have use someone else's. We'll just keep it going. You know? Hey, what about this movie coming out? Dark Waters. What do you know about this?
Well, first of all, let me tell y'all a movie that is fantastic.
Okay.
You have to see
Frozen
it.
Frozen
2. No. It's fantastic, but I didn't see that. Knives Out.
Really?
Knives Out is incredible. It's got great acting, great writing. It's a great mystery. Daniel Craig with a Kentucky accent, he does a tremendous job, and I promise you he will be nominated for an Academy Award.
What? Oh. Yeah, because it's 97-93 on Rotten Tomatoes.
It is fantastic. And
let's go see
another one's getting a lot of attention is Parasite from Korea. No, we saw that, and we didn't think it's top 10 like everybody's putting it, but it was good. But I would tell you, go see Knives Out and thank me later.
This Dark Waters, though, it's 93-97 as well. It comes out this week, and here's the description of it. It sounds pretty good. It sounds like something that you might be into. A tenacious attorney uncovers a dark secret that connects a growing number of unexplained deaths to one of the world's largest corporations. While trying to expose the truth, he soon finds himself risking his future, his family, and his own life.
Is that Mark Ruffalo?
I'm not sure. It's directed by Todd Haynes. That's all I know.
Todd Haynes is one of the top directors.
Mark Ruffalo. Yes, it is. It is Mark Ruffalo.
I've seen the previews of that. It looks really good.
It looks good. Do you have to watch the previews when you go to the theater?
We always get there early, so we have to sit through.
Early?
I like watching the preview.
What I like, don't like is having to watch. If I have to see Star Wars preview again, I want to throw up.
Is this finally the last Star Wars coming out?
Come on, bro.
Yeah, I like all those jewelry stores.
What is that?
There's one, I won't mention him because he might be a client here. They've had going out of business sales for like 10 years, and I'm guessing in another 10 years he might actually go out of business. So this movie is going to make a fortune. Do we really believe that they're not going to make another one?
The reopening is always a sign of a bad restaurant, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Under new management. They'll have Star Wars for the next 6,000 years.
I think they will. I mean,
too much money.
Darth Vader, is there a better villain in history than Darth Vader? Who everybody
that's a great question.
Knows what Darth Vader is.
Yes, Jenny from Forrest Gump. She's the biggest bitch to ever be in a movie.
I would say Hannibal Lecter's close, but
yeah,
Darth
but
Vader
a
is
series
known
of
by
movies.
Everybody yeah. through the decades.
Jenny would eat Hannibal Lecter's coconuts. She ruined Forrest, man.
But not Darth Vader.
She's the biggest villain ever. 100%. Forrest should have left Jenny, John McClane. Forrest should have never set fire.
Yes, don't hike it.
Don't hike it. All right, Josh Shaw will never play in the NFL again.
Right, because he's not any good.
Josh Shaw, for those who don't know, gambled on NFL games while a player of the Arizona Cardinals.
Gotta make
Cardinals.
An example out of
here's,
him.
The reason I wanted to bring this up, because I think it's the funniest thing ever. You know, he had an online gambling account. You type in your profile, Landry Locker, bets $300 a day, whatever it is,
what?
You know, little profile.
What are you talking about?
On occupation.
I wish.
He put professional football player.
What a dumbass.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He filled out an online gambling application, and on his occupation, he put professional football.
How much was he betting? Because I know he bet on his team.
Know.
He bet against his team, and they won.
Yeah.
Another dumbass story like that was in 81, George Rogers, running back from South Carolina, first overall pick over Lawrence Taylor by Bum Phillips at New Orleans. He was busted for cocaine. He's writing checks for it, and he put on the check, what is for? Cocaine.
Professional football player. Is that a red flag? Is that wrong?
Absolutely ridiculous. John, what's coming up in the
Chronicle?
Oh,
real quick. A texter says they couldn't find your chat on Facebook. What's the Facebook link?
Well, go on my Twitter account right now. I'll tell you all the places where to get it. At @McClane_NFL. I've tweeted like 5 times today. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
I'm headed to Chronicle. I'm writing tomorrow about the secondary. I wrote today about Bill O'Brien wouldn't admit to getting teary-eyed, but how much it meant to him. Thank you guys very much.
NFL
and
Hall
Merry
of
Christmas.
Famer. John McClane, Merry Christmas. Damn, I think that's a little early for that, but I'll take it. I'll take it all day. When can you start saying Merry Christmas to people?
After Thanksgiving.
McClane is the best at it. He's the absolute best at wishing people well on the holidays.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating.
But Christmas what?
He says Happy New Year almost until March.
Gosh, what a great guy.
He does. McClane. I've gotten a Happy New Year from John in the last week of February.
All right, John. There he goes. NFL Hall of Famer John McClane.
He's disgusted right now.
He's really disgusted.
God's honest truth.
He wasn't feeling us today.
God's honest truth.
He wasn't feeling us today, was he?
Yeah, he was. He was fine.
I mean, sometimes he feels us, sometimes he doesn't. I don't think he was feeling us as much today.
I think he was.
He needs to quit working so much.
He loves it.
He loves it, but he needs like a spa day. Let's all pitch in and get McClane like a foot massage and like
a spa day.
A spa day. Not a Robert Kraft spa day, but like a spa day.
How'd you like to get your hands on those paws? A little foot massage with John McClane.
Dude, I think I still owe you a pedicure from like a year ago.
Oh, you sure do. I still owe Sean Pendergast a steak dinner from like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it's not for not remembering. I always remember. It's just like, when are you going to do it?
Yeah, we're tired of each other by the time we get off the air. You want to go get a pedicure with me afterwards?
Sure,
like,
I'll go.
We've never gone and gotten lunch together.
Well, that's because it's 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Because we've already eaten lunch.
Yeah. But John McClane's a little pedicure, man. How'd you like to be that
man?
That woman.
Now, how would you like to be the woman that has to touch my feet? They're always talking about me in
what, Landry?
Asian. I'm not going to say either one. I'm not going to say either one because then you're going to say it's not them. No.
That's even worse.
That's saving my butt. I'm not going to say.
Oh, my God.
No, that's not the right term,
that's
Landry.
That's not the right term. They're talking Asian.
They're talking about me in either Japanese or Chinese. It depends which place you go to.
Or Vietnamese.
See, Asian covered all grounds
but
there.
But still, that's not. How do you? You don't have to be Asian to run a spa.
No kidding. But every time I've gotten my feet done, and they have been. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the point is, they're always talking about me and my feet.
In Asian?
In whatever.
Figure they talk in Asian around Landry.
Massager's choice. Whatever they're talking about, they're talking about
what,
me.
What kind of Asian accent they
got?
They have.
Now you can really kiss my butt on that. But like I'm telling you, man, you go in there
they're
with the size 14, you put
Asian.
Them down. They're talking. I didn't want to say one or the other. This was a lose-lose situation, but they're talking about me in a different language. Okay,
that's all you had to say.
Different language.
That's all you had to say.
Jesus, let's get out of here very quickly. It's safe to say Bill O'Brien has a new favorite player on the roster. Plus, it's college football's championship weekend, and you won't believe some of the stuff coaches around the country are saying. Playing the hits next. Boy, I tell you, Bill O'Brien's got a new favorite player. I mean, he is making it very clear who his favorite player in that locker room is. Would you care to guess who it is?
Huh. Favorite player. I'm not counting Deshaun Watson, because he raves about Deshaun Watson every day.
It's a given.
Yeah. So not counting him. I would say, I don't know who.
It is the man that he traded.
Oh,
Jadeveon
God.
Clowney
you're
for.
You're going to say Jacob Martin.
Jacob Martin, I'm yep. telling you. Mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien, tell me why you love Jacob Martin so much.
All I know about Jacob Martin is he plays 100 miles an hour, and he's a great teammate. He's awesome in the locker room. Meetings, you should see the way the guy practices. I mean, he practices, he's out there every day. He doesn't complain about it. He just goes to work. And I think when you have that type of work ethic, you're going to get better. And I think that's what Jacob does. He tries to approach every day and tries to get better.
You're going to make me dump cold water on a really happy week, aren't you?
Why?
Because let's take it to, let's personalize it here for ourselves and for our listeners, the Loopholes, all right?
Shout out to all you.
If you traded Jadeveon Clowney, the number one overall pick, and got back a guy in Jacob Martin, would you say anything else about Jacob Martin? I mean, this happens in offices all across the area here. Your new hire is the golden child, right? Your new hire is the golden child until proved otherwise. You're going to give him every benefit of the doubt. You're going to give him undue, uncharacteristic comp. Stop it, Figgy. Uncharacteristic.
I hit the wrong button.
Uncharacteristics compliments. It's what happens when you hire someone new in any office, anywhere. Anytime, I wouldn't expect Bill O'Brien to say, Jacob Martin, yeah, he's all right.
But I also think it kind of goes a long way in that he is the anti-Clowney. I mean, I'm assuming that this guy, sixth round pick, his work ethic, you can see it on the field. You can see how hard he tries. He mentioned meetings, all that kind of stuff. It does always help when you're the complete opposite of J.D. Clowney.
Well, sure. But that's not why he's doing
like.
It. But
like.
That's not what he's doing. I mean, he's doing it because he made the decision. He's not going to make himself look bad. It happens everywhere. See there? And I'm all happy all week. I'm ready to rave about the Texans. I'm optimistic. I'm talking all these good things. And you make me say the obvious, honest answer.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Honesty's all we give, bro. Mm-hmm. What are you on, a protein shake?
Damn right I am.
John Lopez is the only person that'll eat like a whole enchilada casserole and then take down a protein shake.
That's why I look like an Adonis.
Like, it's one thing to go with the Diet Coke, because a lot of times Diet Coke tastes better when you're getting your large-ass cheeseburger.
I'm kind of off those lately. Have you noticed?
Yeah, I'm done too.
Yeah,
I'm done. I'm on the unsweet tea. But You're the only person that'll just take down a Slim Fast shake after you eat like one of those.
No one Slim Fast. That's just protein.
Same thing. Same
no, it's
concept.
Not the same thing.
They are the same thing.
Nope.
Pretty much the same ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Something weird happened.
Yeah,
last week.
You said people were talking Asian to you.
I was trying to be appropriate.
A texter just said, the guys who cut my grass hate me. They keep talking about me in South American.
See, that's covering all your bases right there. Because if I would have said a specific area of Asia, mm-hmm. then you would say, how do you know that they're that? How do you know that they're that? I'm just covering it. I'm just telling you, when I stick my feet in there in that tub and they have to rub them, they're talking about me in a different language. It's probably what I said. We should have said of originally, but I was just overly cautious because of today's climate.
Mm-hmm.
Titus Howard went on injured reserve.
Yeah.
We didn't really know that he was hurt. We know he got hurt earlier, came back, returned. Bill O'Brien yesterday talking about why Titus Howard, the Texans' first-round pick, is on IR.
We thought it was in the best interest, you know, relative to what he was able to do, where he was at with his knee, that it was in the best interest of him to move in that direction.
I was surprised by this.
I mean, maybe there's just some swelling or something like that?
This is total projection. I haven't talked to anybody over there. I don't have any quote sources. I think, you know, what are we, week 14 this week? I think by week 14, when you have an injury, and I think Titus Howard was injured, and you're a rookie, and you've been getting beat up, I think best interest of the player truly is, you know what, let's not roll the dice here. Let's not take any chances. We don't want the injury to get worse. He's a young player. He's, you know, we know what he is. You know, he's played 13 weeks. Let's just put him on IR, and I think that's exactly what's going on.
Okay, well, that's two rookies on IR.
Yeah.
I mean, Titus has shown some things. Kahale Waring hasn't even stepped on the field. Mm-hmm. What are we going to be saying about that guy, by the way, the water polo tight end next year? Like, really, what are we supposed to say about
You know what they
about
said
him?
About him that they didn't say about Jacob Martin? Yeah, he was all right. Remember that? Wasn't that about the water polo tight end?
Yeah.
That illustrates my earlier point.
You think he ever – all right, let me – book your bet. Book your bet. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? Over under 0.5 career touchdowns for Kahale Waring as a Houston Texan.
Ooh.
0.5.
Look at their tight end depth chart right now.
You got Akins. You still got Jordan Thomas,
yeah.
who could take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Fells is young. You got to think you're going to get Fells on a 1-year deal.
I forgot to mention Fells to McClain this week.
Yeah, you think you're going to get Fells on like a – he's in his 30s, so he'll probably sign a 1- or 2-year deal here and come back. He's too important blocking and everything. Kahale Waring.
Next year?
Ever. That's what he said about him when he practiced.
As a Texan.
Phil O'Brien. As a Texan, over under 0.5 touchdowns for Kahale Waring. Regular season touchdowns.
For his career as a Texan?
Yes.
I got to take the over. I'm not because I think it's close.
I'll take the under.
I think it's close.
You want to bet?
Yeah. 0.5.
This is going to be, I mean,
so
this,
he
this
just has to score one touchdown.
This will be like an ongoing bet. Like this won't go anywhere.
Okay. They're going to have to give him next year, right? So I think
I don't know. They got rid of Rankin after 1 year, and he was a third-round pick.
And Waring was a third-round pick.
I mean, are you going to keep four tight ends around?
Mm-hmm.
If you bring back Fells.
Oh, I'm not confident in this bet.
Thomas and Akins.
in this bet.
Thomas and Akins are going to be third-year guys. Mm-hmm. Are you going to keep four tight ends for a guy who couldn't get on the field?
I'm not confident, but I'm going to have to take the over just because I think it's the smart gambling bet.
Okay. I mean, it's not easy to score touchdowns either.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that. Like last year, the Texans, Jordan Thomas was the only Texans tight end that scored a touchdown. And Akins wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
Akins went through a whole season playing decently and didn't score a single touchdown.
Hmm. I'm going to say, yeah, I'll take the over on 0.5.
Okay. I got you down.
All right.
Carmelo Anthony, he's your NBA Western Conference Player of
Who?
The Week. Carmelo Anthony, 22-7-2 last week. Were his averages. The Blazers went 3-0. I think this is more of just kind of a sympathetic thing. It's really not a big deal. It's a player of the week, but you could have given this to Luka or James Harden. They were both better. And they're both better players. But I think just Melo came back.
Who makes nice this week? Who makes this bet
for the Blazers?
Who picks this?
I have no idea.
I wish I knew.
I don't care.
Because it doesn't matter. It's freaking player of the week. I saw people debating on Twitter. Oh, Harden has been so much better.
Oh, my God.
You're idiotic for making Carmelo the player. I said, what?
Who cares?
It's player of the week.
Man, like, really?
Name two players of the week not named Harden last year or Curry.
Greek Freak.
Was he? I mean, I don't even know. I guess he had to be, right?
At some point.
Yeah.
And
I said two. That's my point. People are arguing about player of the week.
Do you get a trophy for that?
You get a juice box.
No, really. What do you get?
I don't know.
You got to get a plaque or something, right?
I don't know. They give them up. It's 82 games, man.
Player of the week.
Yeah, and people are arguing about it.
Gosh, man. NBA ratings have dropped very significantly.
23% on ESPN.
Very significantly.
Why is that?
Because I think ESPN's watered down the league. I think ESPN, with this TV contract, they've watered down the league.
I think I'm remembering that.
They're trying to hype up, like, Pistons versus, correctly, like, Wizards and stuff. It's like, man, what are y'all doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're putting the same guys on. The games aren't significant. The regular season's just been completely crapped on, which, yeah, I'm fine with load management from a strategic standpoint, but
I found it. TNT is down 23%, ESPN down 20%, and then the local broadcasts are down 13%. So even people who are watching the Rockets, there's 13% fewer on average of the home broadcast.
Speaking of the Rockets, Rockets in San Antonio tonight to face the Spurs, 7:30 tip. There's also going to be a Mavs versus New Orleans game at 6:30. So if you want to get a look at Luka and James Harden, tonight is the night because there is no football or anything on. Playing the hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, Landry Locker, John Lopez. Keep it locked. Next 30 minutes, we're going to give you a chance to attend Stern Talk. Clint Sterner is going to break down the Patriots game with you in our Verizon Artist Lounge. It's going to be a very fun event. Also, if you want to register for tickets to that, you can go to sportsradio610.com/live. sportsradio610.com/live. Register to win. Maybe you can get there if you're not fortunate enough to be the lucky caller whenever we give you the cue to call. It's a big weekend in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Things are finally shaping up, John Lopez. Really, there's only a few teams that have a chance to make the college football playoff. You got Ohio State and LSU. Looks like they're going to be fine.
Those are the two best.
I think they could even lose and get in, honestly, this week. And then you got Clemson, who, my gosh, they're over four touchdown favorites in their conference championship
29
game against Virginia.
Over Virginia.
And then you have either Georgia, who's going to play LSU in the SEC championship, or Oklahoma/Baylor or Utah. So it's going to be a fun week in college football. We will know who's in the CFP. Friday night's really the game you need to look at. It's going to be the only game on. If Utah loses to Oregon, then you're going to wake up the next morning at 11 a.m. and you're going to have a Baylor versus OU game with national title implications.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. And then, of course, the SEC championship, if Georgia wins, I think both them and LSU will get in. We'll go through those scenarios as the week continues. But I think it's also an over weekend. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored this weekend. All the games are indoors.
Yep.
And all of the teams are going to be trying to show out. So look at these overs if you so desire. I know I will. But people are going crazy. People whose seasons are ending in college football are going crazy, and there's some crazy stuff being said. So let's just go through some of the crazy stuff that happened in the final weekend of the regular season in college football, starting with Mike Leach.
Right, our guy Mike Leach.
Mike Leach lost to Washington. Chris Peterson actually resigned afterwards to, quote, recharge.
Very much a surprise.
And I guess there's a reporter by the name of John Blanchett who's been very critical of Mike Leach at Washington State, and he endured the wrath of Mike Leach.
As fast as you guys rank their recruiting class, you know, in the top 10, and then you're always surprised when they win. So I think that, you know, maybe that would have a little something to do with it.
So you're not supposed to beat teams that have higher ranked recruiting classes?
Well, we certainly have before. We didn't win this one, and I don't care to have a big discussion with you on it because I really don't care what you, you know, and you run your mouth and your little column and stuff like some sanctimonious troll, and where, you know, you've never been fair or even-handed with us, so I really don't care what you think. Okay, go ahead, because you're going to write some nasty stuff anyway, like you always do, and I don't know which coug way back when did something that offended you, and I really don't care about that either, but you can live your little meager life in your little hole and write nasty things, and if that makes you feel even, you go right ahead. Okay, next.
That
and I read the guy's article. I never read his work before. Leach was right. He hammered him.
He did?
Oh.
Like after this.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah.
What did you expect?
Well, I don't know. I've endured that.
Yeah.
I've endured that same
Yeah,
that
Mike
same
Leach come at you a little bit?
In the background, yeah, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. Not really that bad, though.
He's prone to do things like that. He's a different kind of guy. We all know that.
Love the guy, though.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
Yeah.
Funny guy. Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. My gosh, they just can't beat the Buckeyes. They can't even compete with the Buckeyes at this point. They've just been smacked around. Jim Harbaugh, after the game, got testy with the reporter as well.
Is it a preparation gap? Is it a coaching gap? Is it a preparation gap? Is it a coaching gap? What is the biggest difference between you and Ohio State at this point?
I mean, I'll answer your questions, not your insults. So.
That wasn't an insult. I mean, you've been offered 18 points in 2 years.
They played really good. They played good.
That's what I'm asking. What's the biggest difference in the gap between you guys?
They played better today.
I don't think that's an unfair question. Right?
I don't think it's an unfair question at all.
I mean, what's the gap? I mean, you've gotten your ass kicked. You've given up over 100 points the last 2 years. You've gotten whooped. You've had all this hype coming in. I mean, that's not unfair at all.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to give you, can I interest you in a stat?
You can interest me in whatever.
From 2016 to 2019, that's four recruiting classes. Ohio State has had 69 4- and 5-star recruits.
That's good.
How many do you think Michigan has had over
74?
71. Ohio, Michigan has had more 4- and 5-star recruits than Ohio State over the last 4 years and have lost every time. Not only that, of those 69 4- and 5-star recruits that Ohio State has had, there have been 18 first and second round draft picks from Ohio State. For Michigan, 4.
Ohio State's the pipeline of NFL talent.
But what I'm saying is the talent is going more so slightly to Michigan, but they're not developing the players. They're losing games, and they're not getting as many top draft picks. That's coaching.
It's tough. It's very, very tough. I also think quarterback has a lot to do with it. Michigan hasn't really found their quarterback, right, which is weird, which is really weird. You thought Harbaugh would do that. Sam Ehlinger, same guy who last year said that Texas was back after they beat that guy. That was last year. This is Sam Ehlinger this year after Texas beat Texas Tech and assured that they would have a winning season.
Obviously, we would have liked things to be different this year in a couple ball games, but I have full faith that we're headed in the right direction since 2011, the first time to have three winning seasons. And I mean, that's a step, you know. Christ. Rome wasn't built in a day, and if you had told Texas fans 3 years ago that we had 7 wins and we're headed to a bowl game and had a chance to win 8, I think people would be pretty happy. So these seniors have laid a great foundation, and I think it's moving in the right direction.
Every Longhorn I know would be pissed.
Well, this is the problem with that. This is what really bothers me about that with Sam Ehlinger. Like, he grew up a Longhorn fan. He grew up with season tickets.
Yeah.
He was like, his dad, before he passed away, like, they literally grew up with season tickets going to every game. Like, there are videos of him as a 3-year-old singing Texas Fight and the Eyes of Texas and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be one thing if it's some guy from out of town that's not familiar with the program that wasn't. I mean, he grew up in the prime of it. Like,
right.
He's right there in the mix of it. It'd be one thing if it was one of those guys. He should know better than to say something. First of all, saying we're back was dumb to begin with. Saying that, like, come on, Sam. Like, I know you got to be a leader, but geez, man. Like, what the hell are you doing,
I
man?
I grew up with a bunch
of
I grew up with a bunch of Longhorns. I still have a bunch in the family. Obviously, a ton of friends that are Longhorns. I cannot tell you one that would be happy with a 7-win season after 3 years.
Never. And
not one.
And Longhorn fans are delusional. So I'm very
Rome
aware of
wasn't
that.
Built in a day.
Come on, bro. That's Tom Herman repeat, man. Tom Herman's just rubbing off on my man Sammy. Mm-hmm. Come on, Sam. You gotta be better than that. You wanna run through a wall? It's about to be lunchtime. Before we eat lunch, you wanna run through a wall?
Mm-hmm.
PJ Fleck.
Oh, all right.
The coach of the Minnesota Gophers. They had a good season. They upset Penn State. However, they ended the season in a little bit of a disappointing fashion. We know how bad that program has been for quite a while. They had a chance to go to the Big Ten Championship, but they came up short. This is PJ Fleck after the game. Before we eat lunch, let's just run through a wall for this SOB and tell me you wouldn't want this guy being your leader.
We don't get to go to the Rose Bowl, maybe. We don't get to go to, you know, the national championship. But we get to do a lot of other things. So we've had first, we've had nevers, we've restored people's beliefs of what we can do. Let's not go back. Let's not start thinking, well, that's typical. That has to be out of our system. And there's going to be cynics, there's going to be doubters, there's going to be critics. But the true fans, what we want them to do is get that completely out of their mind, because we are not going back to that. You don't have to worry about that with me, our staff, our recruiting, our culture, our support, our administration, our president, Mark Coyle. You don't have to worry about that anymore. So let it go. Frozen 2 came out. I don't know what the new words are, the new songs, but Let It Go has got to be in there somehow. Let it go, because we can. We didn't tonight, but we can. And we show the power of our state. And we appreciate everybody's support. Our band, our alumni, our fans, we heard you the entire time. And I apologize to our fans for not being able to get it done, because it falls on my shoulders, 100% of it. Nobody else, not staff, not players, me. I did not get it done for our fans. And we'll make sure that happens.
Jeez, PJ.
I'd play for him.
Jeez, PJ.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's college football chaos heading into championship weekend. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. A chance to attend Stern Talk. You don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, the first one was great. It's only going to get better. We're going to give you a chance in 15 minutes to come up here and watch the tape. Dive deeper into the X's and O's with our man Hot Fudge coming up in 15 minutes. But could two Texans enemies, speaking of the Texans, mm-hmm. could two Texans enemies return to the division next season? One should and one might. We'll discuss next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.